The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum, and this is today's special for you. Today we're going to speak about Islam. Islam, a message of peace.
Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah.
Today, Thursday, is the 19th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Holy Quran. We'll listen to it. which is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 111.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ أوحيت إلى الحواريين أن آمنوا بي وبرسولي قالوا آمنا واشهد بأننا مسلمون.
And remember when I inspired to the disciples, believe in me and in my messenger Jesus. They said, we have believed, so bear witness that indeed we are Muslims in submission to Allah.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The objective meaning of revealing unto the disciples mentioned in the verse is either inspiring unto their own hearts or conveying the message by the way of revealing it unto Jesus. That sometimes Allah may inspire some inspiration unto the respective hearts. The divine inspirations unto people are alongside the path of confirming the divine prophets, inspirations, not against them. Therefore, believing in Allah is not aloof from believing in His Messenger.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Islam is a religion of peace. Why we say that? Listen to this part. In the Muslim historical narrative, Islam is understood to have been a progressive, tolerant, and civilizing force with binding rules, constraining injustice, and wanton violence. Islam's self-identity as a religion of peace is based on the premise that Islam challenges the root causes of human violence. Its numerous dispensations lend support to the construction of a comprehensive vision of peace. It is significant that Quran designates Muslims as a community of the middle way, which together with its parallel concept of mutual recognition for friendship with other communities and nations, visualize Muslims as the agents and facilitators of peace. One also finds methods for peaceful resolutions of conflicts, such as peace through counseling, peace by way of conciliation, peace through arbitration, and grant of amnesty and forgiveness.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The fundamental duty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been to convey the divine messages to other people. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. There's no duty upon the Prophet save conveying the divine messages to other people. We find that in the conduct of the Prophet Muhammad وسلم, he was really a very peaceful personality. The Holy Quran, as the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describes the Prophet Muhammad in this way: لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Certainly a prophet has come to you from your own community. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِمَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was intended to be kind to everybody, to the community of his own people. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime never abused anybody, never said anything harsh to anybody, even to his enemies or to the people who used to mistreat him. And based on this, we find that whoever proposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live peacefully with him, he accepted it. Especially those people who were not Muslims. I mean Jews, Christians, or other, I mean even pagan Arabs. Now we find that even in the wars and battles that took place in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, the military strategy of the Prophet Muhammad was not to kill others, not to kill everybody on his way.
About amazing tips to become a better Muslim, we reach to a stay away from extremism. In the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 143, we read, "And thus we have made you a just community that you will be witnesses over the people." Dear friend, most converts do not enter Islam looking for an extremist point of view. Unfortunately, we have seen some converts do end up overseas working for terrorist organizations. This is something that can happen for a person feeling victimized or ostracized by their own culture and being overcome with anger. Maybe we have not had a problem with anyone trying to radicalize us. It has happened enough, though, that it should be a concern. It will be best for you to keep your head on your shoulders and not get caught up with extreme points of view. Know that all the scholars have absolutely refuted terrorism in their fatwa, that means legal rulings. Extremism is on the very edges of the Islamic thought. Do your best to stay on a middle way.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
We know about Islam as a religion, not an ethnicity or a race. And not all Muslims speak Arabic. While the faith may have started in the Arabian Peninsula, it is in no way an Arab or Middle Eastern religion. Just because someone is Muslim does not mean they are Arab or from Middle East. Indeed, Muslims live all around the world, from South America and Namibia to Mongolia, Malaysia, and many other countries. Not all Muslims speak Arabic, because not all Muslims are Arab. Not all Muslims will speak Arabic. While many will use certain religious words that are in Arabic because of the Quran, most Muslims from outside the Middle East will not know the language.
Our religion, our Prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, was sent as a mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah does not say, we sent you as a mercy to the Muslims. We sent you as a mercy to the people of Hijaz. We sent you as a mercy to the alameen, to the universe. This is what the religion of Islam is. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he tells Malik al-Ashtar. He sends Malik al-Ashtar to be the governor of Egypt. Before he sends him, he sends a letter to him. In this letter, he teaches Malik al-Ashtar how to care for people, how to be a leader. He teaches him how to be a leader, where you're, now that you're a leader, you have Muslims, non-Muslims, people that love you, people that hate you in your nation. He tells him, النَّاسُ صِنْفَانِ إِمَّا أَخٌ لَكَ فِي الدِّينِ أَوْ نَظِيرٌ لَكَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. People are in two categories. When you're a leader, people are in two categories. Either he's your brother in religion, or he's your counterpart in creation. He's a human being just like you. He deserves to breathe. He deserves to eat. Allah is the one who gave him the ability to eat. Allah is the one who's allowing him to breathe.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
We continue this interesting topic, inshallah, in another episode of today's special. So be with us tomorrow. Fi amanillah.
Lost and hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen. Bless prophets Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad ya Habib Allah, Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on a beautiful formula of solidarity of the Islamic Ummah as mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This hadith has also been widely mentioned by both Sunni and Shia Muslims, and is famous as the Hadith Safina, or the statement of the ark. Please listen. The likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the ark of Prophet Noah. Whoever boards it will be safe, and whoever deserts it will be drowned.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the central ideas of the Holy Quran and of certain traditions is the concept of a mu'min, a believer, a true believer. Who is a true believer? What characteristics does this true believer have or show? Or if we want to truly understand that this person is a true believer, what should we look for? In the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we see that certain characteristics have been mentioned, certain, you know, demeanors have been mentioned, certain ethical traits and characteristics have been mentioned to look out for, or rather not to look out for, you know, to try and actually implement in our own lives, that inshallah we'll become one of those who can be classified as being a mu'min, as being a believer. In this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he mentions one such characteristics or one such trait that a person who is believer, you know, may have. Again, as you've heard many times from me, that these traditions obviously come with conditions. You know, it's not something that you just take one tradition and say, oh, this is it. No, it has to be put together with other traditions in order to get a clearer picture. For example, the intention, what this person is doing, and so on and so forth, plays an important part. And we'll explain that as we mentioned the tradition. That the Holy Prophet is narrated to have said that the believer is nice and simple. No, he's not someone who's extravagant. He's not someone who, you know, puts himself out there. He's not someone who shows off and so on and so forth. Such that he could be mistaken to be stupid because of his simplicity. He's not somebody who wants to show everybody that he's a learned person. You know, he doesn't give answers that, you know, will amaze people. But in reality, the advice that he gives at times, if pondered upon, is extremely deep. You know, the way he dresses may seem to you as, you know, what is this person doing? But for him, it doesn't really matter. Obviously, there are game conditions here and so on and so forth. But he's somebody who lives a simple life. Is somebody who, for example, may find opportunities to make a lot of money. Or he has a lot of money even at times, but he lives a very simple life. So this is where stupidity could come in, is that, okay, this person has so much money, but yet he's living such a simple life. Like, and most of his money, for example, he gives into charity, but people do not know what he's doing with it. So they say, what is this person doing? Again, this is one possible explanation in this tradition. Where a person is a believer, he's living simply. But people are saying, oh, he has so much wealth, he's living like this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us, first of all, to become a true believer, and secondly, not to judge other people. This is the second part of the tradition, that, you know, we should not judge other people. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. George Sale was a British Orientalist scholar of the 18th century. He is best known for the translation of the Noble Quran into English, and for many years, his work used to be one of the main sources for Quranic studies. In the introduction of his translation, he has written, "The style of the Quran is generally beautiful and fluent. It is concise and often obscure, and in many places, especially where the majesty and attributes of God are described, sublime and magnificent, of which the reader cannot but observe several instances, though he must not imagine that the translation comes up to the original." Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verses 9 to 11 of Surah Munafiqun, recited by Ahmad Nuaina.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون.
أخرتني إلى
قريب فيقول ربي لولا وأكن من الصالحين ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العلي العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you just listened to Surah Al-Munafiqun verses 9 to 11 by Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna. Okay, and now we're going to analyze these verses in terms of the rules of Tajweed. Verse 9. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. We have matul munfasil in the phrase ya ayyuha. So we have to lengthen it to either 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Sheikh Nu'ayna lengthened it to about 4 vowel counts. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم. Now one thing that you have to pay attention here is that we have ميم ساكن as followed by the letter واو. You have to make sure that the ميم is pronounced with إظهار. Okay, we don't pronounce it with إخفاء. تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. You don't say تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم, because ميم and واو, we use the lips for pronouncing both of them. Their place of articulation is the same, so you have to be careful that there's no إدغام, there's no إخفاء. The ميم is pronounced completely and then the واو is pronounced. عن ذكر الله. In this phrase, we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة, because after the نون ساكنة, there is the letter ذال. Okay, so you have to approximate the place of articulation of ذال, and at the same time, make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. عن ذكر الله. ذكر الله. The راء has ترقيق because it has a فتحة in the word ذكر الله. And the lam of Allah also has tarqiq. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ. In this word we have مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ, so you have to lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts. هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. خَاسِرُونَ. The mouth opens vertically when pronouncing خَا, so it has تَفْخِيم, and we apply the تَفْخِيم by opening the mouth vertically. وَأَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقُنَاكُمْ. We have إخفاء in أَنفِقُوا. We have إدغام in مِمَّا. We have تَفْخِيم of راء in رَزَقُنَاكُمْ. And we have قَلْغَلَ in رَزَقُنَاكُمْ. The قَاف is ساكن, so you have to apply قَلْغَلَ. Okay, and the final point would be the last verse that was recited, verse 11. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. We have إقلاب of نون ساكنة, where the نون is pronounced like a ميم with إخفاء.
كتاب الله, كتاب الله, كتاب الله.
Dear audience, Now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell us stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, again another very beautiful story from the Holy Quran, or rather the effect that the Holy Quran has on the hearts of individuals. The light that which it generates penetrates all types of hearts, especially that heart which is seeking the truth. In this story that we will mention today, we see that at the very onset of Islam and the verses of the Holy Quran that were mentioned and revealed and were, you know, told to certain groups of individuals, how quickly those individuals were affected, especially those whose hearts were leaning towards truth, those hearts that were soft. We all know that in the very early days of Islam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the great oppression and, you know, the tyranny that was being placed upon the Muslims by the Quraysh in Mecca, sent a delegation to Ethiopia, or Habasha, as it is said in Arabic. There the king was Najashi, and obviously the head of that contingent was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, the one who has two wings, or Ja'far al-Tayyar, the one who has two wings in paradise. So it is said that when this group or this contingent of Muslims landed in Ethiopia, the king obviously requested them to come, and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam recited certain verses from Surah Maryam for him. On hearing this, the king and a group of those priests who were around felt very affected by it. So Najashi then sent a group of 30 individuals to go to Mecca, or to go to Arabia, or at that time the Hijaz, and to see, okay, what is this person? Who is this person that is quoting these? So he sent this group of priests, which were 30 in number, and said to them that you pay close attention to this individual who claims to be a prophet. How does he act? How does he interact with people? What does he eat? How does he eat? How does he live? Keep him under, you know, a constant, you know, microscopic lens. Look at every single thing that he does. So anyway, this group of individuals went and they met the Holy Prophet and they entered in onto him. And he started to invite them to Islam, and he recited this verse of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Isa alayhi salam and the miracles of Isa alayhi salam, and all those miracles that Isa alayhi salam did were by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is said that by hearing this verse, those 30 priests began to weep and the heart became soft, and he said that they became Muslim there and then. There they went back to Ethiopia and reported back to Najashi. And they recited the same verse to Najashi. And it's mentioned in the tradition that all of them in that gathering, including Najashi, began to weep and cry. And Najashi at that time accepted Islam. But it is mentioned in the tradition that Najashi kept his Islam to himself because of certain outward forces that would have, you know, brought danger to his life. But it is mentioned that Najashi wished to go and visit the Holy Prophet, but unfortunately on the journey he passed away. And according to certain tafasir and commentators of the Holy Quran, the 82nd verse of Surah Ma'idah was revealed in connection with this group of individuals and Najashi in particular. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه
تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان. والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to Brother Yasser Qazi. He's a Sunni scholar and he talks about double standards of freedom of speech in France.
Alhamdulillah, glorified be Allah, the Rabb of the throne and the Lord of the creation. He sent to us a messenger whose very praise is embodied in his name. Allah chose him to deliver his final message, a prophet for each and every nation. And he performed his task with sincerity, seeking no money, nor power, nor fame. He was the Sadiq, he was the Amin. His manners won him universal admiration. Through his efforts and sacrifice, the victory of Islam was proclaimed. By following his teachings, we achieve universal salvation. And it is his intercession for which we aim. His persona was more beautiful than the full moon, the embodiment of perfection. So honor belongs to those who follow him, and to his detractors shall be nothing but shame. We are all painfully aware of what is happening in the land of France, the land that claimed to champion the freedom of liberal values, the freedom of liberty and of equality and of universal rights. We are seeing this campaign, this brutal, xenophobic, Islamophobic campaign against our Nabi and our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all under the guise of the freedom of speech, all as a result of a reaction of one unfortunate incident. And they are using that incident of the beheading of one teacher for doing something to cause this entire campaign against our Nabi and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this reminded me of an incident in the Seerah when some of the Sahaba were sent by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have an expedition of looking, of spying, not of causing any harm. And some things happened and they caused the death of one or two of the Qurayshis. They caused the death of some of the Quraysh in the sacred lands, in the Haram of Mecca. It was not something that was planned, but it happened. The Quraysh made a very big campaign, PR campaign. Look at these Muslims, they don't honor the Haram of Allah. Look at these Muslims, they flout the commandments of Allah. In the Haram, they take a life. And they launched a very vicious PR campaign against the Muslims. Allah revealed in the Quran a verse that shows us how we deal with these two sets of grievances. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They ask you about fighting during the sacred months and the sacred lands. They ask you about qital. Allah says, قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. What happened is a kabir. It is not right to kill an innocent soul. It is not right to kill in the haram. It is not right. It is wrong what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is a kabir what the sahaba did. But Allah did not stop there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on and he listed the grievances of the Muslims against the Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَصَدٌ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. To block people from coming to the haram and to expel people from worshipping Allah and to kill people because they are Muslims and to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is far bigger of a crime than one life that was caused at the hands of the Muslims. And then Allah says, "Wal fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl." And all the chaos that you are causing, O Quraysh, this is far bigger than one qatl that you are complaining about. This is the justice of Allah, and we learn from that justice. We say loudly and clearly that it is not allowed to kill a soul in the lands that we live in. It is not allowed to enact vigilante justice. It is not allowed to read a book of fiqh and then think you are applying the sharia in a land that the sharia is not applied. This is not allowed. We unequivocally state this without any shame, without any embarrassment. The truth is the truth. What happens in these lands, this is the political freedom that is given, and all that we can do is verbally speak against it. But at the same time, for France as a superpower, for the country, for the nation, for the president to use this incident and then to rub it in and to broadcast images that are derogatory, demeaning of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in large billboards across the country, taking the largest buildings of the city and then portraying those images 24/7, reprinting those cartoons, making a criminal act to criticize the publication of those cartoons, to merely express anger becomes a critical act. To come and shut down over 70 masajid, as what happened in France. To have a lockdown on so many charities because they are not towing the party line. They're not accepting this crackdown. So the secret police are coming in and arresting people for verbally criticizing the tactics. Please spare me this double standard. This is not about freedom of speech, not at all. Freedom of speech applies when a minority speaks to the majority. Freedom of speech applies when those that are bullied have the freedom to speak out against those that bully them. When truth is spoken to power, that is freedom of speech. When the president, when a country, when an army act like thugs and they teach their own people to hate a minority, to have bad things about the minority, this is not freedom of speech. This is nothing but thuggery. This is nothing but an incitement of hatred. Freedom of speech does not apply over here. Less than 7% of France is Muslim. Less than 7%. Don't tell me that the 90% are intimidated. They're not going to speak their freedom. On the contrary, the acts of violence that happen at the hands of Muslims is negligible. One act, millions of Muslims, and one thing. These are statistics of any crime, any mafia, any negative that happens in a community. But what is the response? The criminalization of the entire religion of Islam. The criminalization of any type of criticism of government policies. And subhanallah, France, who are you to lecture us about the freedom? Who are you to tell us about the crimes of one man? Have you not looked at your own crimes? Have you not looked at your own colonial past? Have you not seen the brutal occupation of Algeria for over 100 years? Millions of people were killed. Not one teacher. Millions of people were killed. Innocent women and children slaughtered. Rape was rampant. Anybody that objected, they were tied on a car and with a handcuff and they were dragged through the streets of Algeria until they died. They set up concentration camps way before Hitler. Don't come and tell us about freedom when you yourselves have not embodied that freedom. You get angry at the murder of one man, and yes, that should not have happened, but you do not look at what you yourselves are doing to an entire population. Millions of people in your own lands who carry the same passports, third, fourth, fifth generation of North African descent, they are in your lands because of you and your colonization. Don't blame them. They are there because you needed them to be laborers, to be manual workers. You brought them in because you colonized their lands. Now their children, great great grandchildren, now you discriminate against them. You don't give them the same education. You ghettoize them. You put them in the outside of the suburbs. You don't give them jobs. At every single opportunity, you shut the doors on their faces. This crime that occurred, the teacher that was killed, it had nothing to do with the books of fiqh, and it had everything to do with how you treat your own Muslim community. I'm not justifying, I am contextualizing. And we need to be brave enough to say this. The murder that happened was wrong, but it was not a murder that came from the books of fiqh. This was a murder that came from the anger of how you are treating millions of your own citizens. This is not a justification. It is a contextualization. And what is the response? You want to make matters worse. This is not how a wise leader acts. You want to cause civil war between your own societies. You want to make a minority feel even less like they belong to that land by flouting everything that is sacred. That is not the way forward, dear France. That is not the way forward. And us Muslims as well, we have to be very careful. This is a bait. They want more incidents to happen. Realize, dear Muslims, it is a tactic. And I speak of France, but this is the reality across the world, across the Western world. They are waiting. Some of these people, they are praying for yet another terrorist attack. They want it to happen. Why? Because it will give them the authority to clamp down even more. It will give them the authority to demonize the entire Muslim population. So we cannot stoop to their level. Yes, well, wallahi, it pains us that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dishonored. Wallahi, our hearts are full of anger, full of disgust. Yet we have to act in accordance with the Sharia. And so we will fight their hatred, not with the same type of hatred, but with wisdom. We will fight their tactics by following our Sharia. And the best way to defend the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to act upon his sunnah, to preach his message, to show the people how he was rahmatan lil alameen. That is the ultimate way. It is not an easy battle. It's a long-term battle. But if the 7-8% of France has the largest population of Muslims anywhere in the Western world, anywhere, the largest population percentage-wise. If that percentage were to return to Islam, be faithful to the teachings of the Sharia, embody the mercy, the rahmah that this religion was about, then that would be the best form of da'wah, and that is the best way to counteract this type of vitriol, this type of hatred. Dear Muslims, I speak of France, but the reality is the same scenario is happening across the world. So learn from the lessons of the past and learn from the benefits of what is happening in the world, and make sure that we ourselves do not fall prey to these types of episodes. We have to respond to this hatred with wisdom and dignity, like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded. Fasfah as-safha al-jamil, turn the other cheek. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that it hurts you what they say. Fa'arid anhum, turn away from them, and Allah azza wa jal will deal with them. Our job is to embody the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us capable of doing that.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi عليم حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters welcome to the program Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio This is your host Sayyid Mustafa I'm originally from New Zealand and I've been living here in Iran now for about 3 years and I've been studying here in the Hawza Asia Today with me in the studio are two very lovely brothers and I would like them to introduce themselves as well Assalamu alaikum brother
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting. This is Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, and I'm living here for last 8 years. Right now, studying, doing my PhD in economics, Islamic economics, and right now in front of you.
MashaAllah.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for having me here. I'm Sayyid Wahid Alawi from Sweden. And I am studying a PhD in Islamic mysticism.
The topic that we have today for you is a very interesting topic, in my view, and that is about, you know, are we free to choose in our life? You know, do we have the choice, you know, to choose our name, to choose our religion? Can we choose our wives? And just
husbands.
Kind of Right. And, you know, I would, just to kind of preface this topic, I would say free will, in my opinion, is maybe our greatest gift given to us by God. It is probably what makes us human, you know, it's the ability to choose. But to what extent are we really free?
Well, first we need to look at the definition of freedom. If the freedom is in the sense of liberty that we have in today's or modern world, this is not something acceptable in Islam, obviously. It is not acceptable in any religion or any country. Even the countries, they have their rules. The traffic rules, for example.
There is no absolute freedom.
There is no absolute freedom, yes. But the way they portray, they bring all this absolute freedom. They try to bring this into the religion. That you in the religion, you're absolutely free. This is not the case. The choice of freedom that we talk about, like the freedom of choice, basically, the freedom of choice that we have within Islam, it means that we do all actions with our will. And that is basically the will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Yeah. The power of will, or the power of choosing what to do and what not to do, it's been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the same basis, he's going to basically give us the rewards, or maybe he punishes us in hereafter. Because he says in the Quran that you're free to do whatever you want to do in this world. But these are the parameters. If you follow these things, I'll take you to the paradise or heaven. If you do not follow these things and you do these actions, for example, the forbidden things, then I will throw you into the hellfire, and that fire of the hell is your own deeds that you have done in this world. So this freedom or being the free to choose, for example, in life what to do, what not to do, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's given, this blessing is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. But how to use it, obviously, you know, I can have, for example, sorry for giving this example, it's a rude example. For example, if I have a gun, I'm free to use it. Mm-hmm. I can use it for hunting an animal. I can use it for practicing my, for example, like the shorts, or maybe like those brutal or the oppressors, I can use it against the innocent people. It depends on me. Or maybe I can use it in defending my country. I can use it to save my life. It depends on me. I'm free.